Welcome to the Redeemer Anglican Church podcast, where we explore the timeless truths of God's Word, celebrate the beauty of our liturgical traditions, and journey together in faith. Whether you're tuning in from our church community or beyond, we're glad that you're here. Each episode in this podcast is designed to inspire, challenge, and encourage you as we grow deeper in love with Christ and His mission for the world. So, grab a moment of quiet, open your heart, and let's dive into this week's reflection.
Good morning. You know, some of you were here during the coffee time, and they have explained the work we do together with the Diocese of Christ of Hope. And Bishop Allen asked me to come and do some confirmation and share with you the Word of God. And what I prepared today is for us all, we're going to share. And my work is in Sudan, from the diocese called Kaduguli, but also I work here, so some of people, they know the story. And in Sudan, in times like these, we confirm many people. Every year we have like over 1,000. So the work grow, and we have new diocese, and now we have capacity to create another diocese. And in service like this in Sudan, it takes many hours, take 4 or 5 hours. And if you see me going 4 or 5 hours, take it easy. I'm just kidding. So I'm going to focus in the two readings in Galatians and also the reading in Luke, because they have some similarities. Galatians is talking about something I know people like in America. It's talking about freedom. People like freedom. And they don't like slavery. The verse is talking about the freedom, and he said we should keep that freedom Christ gave us and not come back to again to the slavery. The freedom, it has a lot of good things, but also there is two types of freedom. And always the freedom is not easy to be given. You have to fight for it. We fight for freedom, either spiritual freedom or state or life freedom. You fight with your enemy or somebody who is colonizing you, or you fight with the systems if it's not giving freedom and the state. So some of the freedom of the state, people want peaceful and stable society, respect for human rights and dignity, equal opportunities to all. This is some of the freedom that we like. Accountable and transparent government, economic prosperity, we like money, justice and fairness, hope and vision for the future and for next generation. This is some of the benefits of the freedom. So it's very difficult. We have to fight the oppressors, or maybe criminals and guns. If they're doing a lot of not good in the city, we have to fight them. Or if the system or constitution Our structure is not good. We have to fight. I know long time ago, US fought for their freedom, either with guns or with words, so that they bring many things. And for the structures, if we want to fight for the freedom, we have to establish rule of law, ensure democratic governance, promote education, upload human rights. So this is how we fight the freedom, to set these things in a place. This is good, but this is not the freedom Paul meant in Galatians. It's different. That's not the one. Let us not confuse two things. Paul is talking about a different freedom, freedom, spiritual freedom, which is different than our state or our life's freedom. The stakeholders in the state freedom, it might be our oppressors or enemies or structures or systems. This is the stakeholders, the people who are fighting. But in the spiritual freedom, the stakeholders and people who are fighting, he said, is the body and spirit. That's why it's different. The freedom Paul talked about it, and which is good for me and for you, is a freedom you fight the body and the spirit. So, what is the benefit of spiritual freedom? We have seen the benefit of the state freedom or life freedom, but here is the freedom from sin and guilt. This is the freedom we need. Peace with God. This is the freedom we need. Inner joy. That's what we need if we want always be joyful. Ability to work with the spirit, not with the flesh. This is what we need as a Christian. Boldness in prayer and worship. Growth in patience and holiness. This is the freedom we want. Hope for eternal life and fellowship with God. This is very good. This is what we want. So we have to fight for it, for this. And those are two people fighting, is the body and the spirit. So to understand this fight, I want to bring something to help us. Just bear with me. Or maybe you know it already, but I want to explain some things. The spirit and the body which are fighting, why are they? Why this? Two people. I want to go back to the construction and the human body. Human body have three things. They have flesh, they have soul, and spirit. This is human spirit, not Holy Spirit. So we come a long time when God created Adam, he got the soil. If we say, this is the body, he created the body, I'm just giving an analogy, the hands and the head, but this body was not functioning, was not working. Then he brought another thing, the soul. He breathed into this body and became alive. Become thinking and feeling. The soul here, this is the soul. He breathed into that. The soul has mind to think and emotions to feel and also has will. This is the soul. You have all these three things and you may have more. So, Adam was able to think, was able to work, was able to do many things and feel and take decisions. And this is actually the animals like that. They allocate our flesh and they have the soul. But human being, they added something. Number three, this one is the spirit. So the human being have the flesh, the soul, and the spirit. But the animals will have only these two. What happened when Adam, and this spirit, the function of this spirit is to be connected with the God's spirit. If we say this is God's spirit, God to connect you with you, he has to come through your spirit, not the soul, not the body. Since the animals have no spirit, I don't think they're going to go to heaven, I don't know. But the important thing is in the world is human being, because it have the spirit where God can connect. Connection with God, that means life. If you have your spirit is connected with God, you are alive. If not, if you have no relationship, this is death. When Adam and Eve, they sinned, they were disconnected. They were dead spiritually. So that's why Jesus was saying, let the dead bury their deaths. He was talking to two human beings. Let the dead, the first dead, when you're dead, you cannot bury somebody. You cannot work. But he means the spiritual death. That man, he's talking to the person who his spirit have no relationship with God. He's called dead spiritually. He said, even though you are dead spiritually, but you can function in the world. He said, tell these guys who don't have relationship with God, the dead people in the spirit, bury their dead in the body. So we are dead when we are away from God. We are dead when we are away from God. So Adam was producing children, including us. Spiritually, we're dead. And that's why Christ was coming to connect us again with God to be life. So how these people are working? Three of them, they're working. He said there is two people, spiritual fight. The spirit who are fighting in verse 17, he said the desire of the body, of the flesh, is against the desire of the spirit. This is two guys, the spirit of human being and the spirit of God. These are two people fight. Let me just try to explain. Through your body, you receive, for example, a muscle, you want steel. And then we'll bring it to the soul. The soul is the one to take the decision. Okay, if you are dead spiritually, this spirit is human spirit. He likes the things of flesh. You will say, okay, the soul will tell the spirit, is controlled by this spirit, will tell the body, you steal. This is like implementing body. When the soul decides according to one of these spirits, he will inform the body to act accordingly. The body is the hands or mouth. Another example, if somebody says something wrong to you, the soul will come. Now the feelings. So we'll order the body what to act. If it's controlled by the spirit of man, you will insult. This is like output. I was teaching computer for a long time. This is output. This is software. Or CPU is here, is processing things, and then you give them to output, monitor or printer. he will act. So, to have freedom, to have your spirit alive, you need the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is strong, he might say, forgive. He will dismiss this guy. He will overcome him. So the one who will take control on the soul is the Holy Spirit. He will say, forgive him. And the mouth in the body will say, I forgive you. So whatever we do is controlled by these two people, this spirit. This spirit, you want the things of the flesh. It mentioned in Galatians, is hatred, immorality, all this guy, this spirit needs these all things. But that one, he needs love, kindness, good things. So when you let your spirit of God control your soul, you will produce the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which is good. And if not, then the body, this spirit will take control and you do many things. So how will you get the Holy Spirit? Because this is the spirit, he connects with God. It is the time when you open your heart to Christ. When you say, yes, I accept you. I accept your faith, your work. So the salvation is through faith, not work. So through faith, we accept him. The faith, it means we believe what you did, Jesus. You are coming to take our sins. I believe that. Then the Holy Spirit will be living in you. It comes once when you surrender your life to Christ. But there is another problem. The Spirit of God, when connected to your spirit, if you don't feed the Holy Spirit, you will be weak. So when somebody insulted you and your spiritual life is weak, spirit of human being will take over and you do something wrong. Then how are you empower this guy, the Holy Spirit? How are you empower? It is through the Bible. Reading your Bible. Bible is not just a book. You know, when you are first grade, you will finish the book, mathematic book in first grade, and you go to another one. The book, the Bible is not like that. You cannot finish the Bible. Even if you read all through, but still new things. When you read the same chapter, it will give you new meaning. When somebody preach, it's a life book, is bringing new meaning. So this is the book we need to read. It strengthens our spirit. And also we strengthen our Holy Spirit by praying, connecting to God. And when you have Holy Spirit is strong, now you have freedom. This is the freedom God's talking about. Paul talking about the freedom to do many good things. And he wants us to do good things. Then we will have eternal life. Then we will be effective. Because when your Holy Spirit is strong, you will be able to listen. You will be able to listen to these words of the God. When he tells you, he will do. The passage we read is talking also about discipleship, about how to follow Jesus, how to go and proclaim the kingdom. But if your spirit is weak, Holy Spirit is weak, then this spirit will give you many excuses. You know, there's three guys. One of them, he was told, I have no place to lay my head. This is part of the suffering. Will you follow Jesus like that? Last Sunday, I was preaching about following Jesus. Jesus wants you to know him first before you follow him. So will you follow somebody with no place to put the head? The flesh will say, okay, I am not sure. Your flesh, if you're weak spiritually, will get excuses from the family. I have my daddy's dead. I have my sister, my son, my... You bring the excuses for the family because you are not strong. You cannot do what God wants you to do. And I cannot do what God wants me to do because my Holy Spirit is weak. The human spirit is taking control. And the other one, I think, is about the economy. So you want to follow Jesus. You cannot set the plow and then look behind. It's not fit. It's not good for the kingdom of God. So when you want to follow, you follow. So these all excuses comes along when we are weak. So we need to strengthen the Holy Spirit. We need to, first of all, we invite Him in our hearts. We say, God, we are here. We want you to become my Savior. And He is the doctor of us. There is a doctor yesterday. We have good time with him. And that Jesus actually is specialist doctor for solving problem of sin. Primary doctor will say, okay, I have stealing people. I have greedy. The doctor will refer you to Jesus Christ. He's specialist. Okay, you are stealing? I take it out. You're killing people, I take it out. You commit adultery, I take it out. He was coming to save people from the sins. This is the mission of Jesus. Don't stay in your sins. I don't need to stay in my sins. I need to come to Him. God, I have done this. He is special, He will take it. No stronger sin can defeat Him. But sometimes we feel, I'm horrible, I'm not holy. Yeah. But God can make you holy and can call you saints. So we need to come to Him. We say, God, we are sinners. We want you to come in our life. We want you to be my Savior. He will do that because He was coming to save people. He was coming to take the sins away. And then that you have Holy Spirit just once. And that time you are a child of God. You have eternal life. But now the Spirit of God, you need to be strengthened by reading the Bible, by coming to the church. Coming to the church is not just social gathering, but it is to strengthen our spiritual life. The last point. So, He was asking us to love our neighbors. And this is one of the difficult things. How can you love your neighbor like yourself? And how can I love my enemy? He didn't stop there, but Jesus even go to extent and said, love your enemy. And that was something difficult. If I have time, I will tell you the story about loving my enemies, the guys who wanted to kill me. But let me explain this first, if we have time. The love is not something easy. He said, love your enemy. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is what we said. And then we go further and we find the sum of the qualities and the fruits of Holy Spirit is love. So it means love, it can be produced by the Holy Spirit, not by the spirit of flesh. Love is something really difficult. In English, I'm not expert in English, but I have heard the English is short. I'm good in Arabic. I looked for it, but Arabic is short. I looked for our language, moral language, is short. But in Greek, the love have three meanings. This love, we call it love, 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 but it's not. Love your neighbor, what does it mean? Okay, the three loves, The first love in Greek language, those who have studied Greek, I think they know, is called Eros. Eros, this is love. This love is concerning the selfishness. Or sometimes we find children, they want to get anything. The love which is want for themselves. I love this. If you grow with that child love, you will be greedy. You want everything to dominate everything. This is not love. When Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, or Paul said, love your neighbor as yourself, you don't mean this. You don't mean this selfish love, you want everything for yourself. And many countries in the world, they're fighting because of this love. Because they love themselves, they love everything to be towards them. The second love is called philo. Philo is the love that between friends, between some husbands and wives, not all. You love me, I love you. This is condition. My friend, you treat me well, I will go well with you. But if you do something wrong, no. That's not also love. It's disqualified. My wife, my husband, or whatever, if she treats me well, okay, I love you also. And if you're doing funny things, twice, three times, four times, no. You need a divorce. Come to God. Is that love? That's not the love it meant here. There is another love which is pure and highest love. And this is the love of God to the people, to me and you. Love without condition. Even though we're saying lies, a lot of lies, a lot of greed, adultery, and all this, but God's still giving us life. You will get the sun, you will get the rain, you will get the oxygen we breathe. He still loves us. That's love without condition. And this is the love we cannot get only through the Holy Spirit. So he loved the world. He gave himself. Why do you give himself, yourself to the sinner people, the wrong people who are doing always? Because he loves us, he wants to save us. And this is the love we need to have for our neighbors. And this is the love we need to give to everybody. The neighbor here, it means any human being. But we have differences, even just political. You think, okay, this is a Democrat, this is what. But you know that we have spiritual love in it. And when we have this spiritual love, agape love, which is called agape, it is that from the Holy Spirit. It's part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So when we are Christian, we are believers, we are capable to have this forgiveness. We are capable to have this forgiveness. That's why you find some Christians, they forgive and they do many things. When we have this, we will be able to listen to Jesus, what he said, you go and tell the people. We will be able to go. We'll be able to go and proclaim his kingdom. And for especially for those who are going to confirm today, it is the time for them to go. Not them alone, but me and you. We need to go and proclaim the kingdom. This is the great commission God is sending us. And when we go there, how are we going to go? It's not only by preaching, by opening the Bible, but sometimes somebody said, preach always. If it's necessary, use the words. So how are we going to preach? We're going to preach with our behavior, with our gifts, with our talents, with our money. The mission of God, the work of God needs all this. Need clothes. need spoons, need tea, need water. All this, when we come here, this is, we are in the mission. We need these drinks, we need this Donald, all this. We need them to complete the mission of God. So the church, I know it has 10 years, but already I know that he's sending people out. Yeah, you can send people out. You give money, you give your time. This is all it's serving God. So God is calling us today to go and proclaim the kingdom of God. So we need to go. Don't despise what you have. This is the last point. What do you have? God can use it. Moses said, I have only small rock. I cannot do that. Even my tongue, I cannot even speak well. He told him, this is enough. He went with this small stick. He hid the water in the Red Sea and it was open. God was able to use his stick. When there was no water, he struck the rock. The much water flows. God can use even your knowledge, even your money, even your clothes, even your shoes, even anything you have, talents that you have, education that you have, you can help in the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us on the Redeemer Anglican Church podcast. We pray this time has encouraged your faith and drawn you closer to the heart of our God. If you'd like to learn more about our church, explore upcoming events, or support our ministry, visit us online at RedeemerRaleigh.org. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you won't miss any future episodes. Until next time, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.